So welcome everyone to the Regulatory Reporting Steering Committee meeting. I appreciate everyone attending. Jeff, are you, not Jeff, Nathan, are you going to run the PowerPoint?
I can share my screen. I can pull it up here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. There we go.
Okay, so let's first things first, on our of course is our antitrust notice. Do you want to scroll down to that for us, please? So if anyone has, if you probably heard this ad nauseum, but if anyone, yes, Jeff, we are recording. If anyone has any questions regarding the antitrust policy, we're here to exchange ideas, not share business secrets or do any of the prohibited activities under the antitrust policy of collusion or trying to prevent competition in our space. So everyone knows that. Please adhere to the policy. Have any questions, please, please come forward or and as always, we try to monitor that from a legal perspective and make sure that we're not getting into any territory that we shouldn't. So, and I know insurance companies are especially sensitive to that. So on our agenda today, do you want to jump to the agenda? Okay, here we go. So those earlier slides were some of the slides that talk about the membership, I believe. I can barely read that. But what we want to do here today around the agenda is to talk about the some of the things that have been happening. There's been a lot going on. Some of you may be aware of that from the working group's work. But what I really like to do now is, in this meeting is to start to introduce the new staff that we have for the OpenIDL at the Linux Foundation, start to have them kind of express their interest and why this was an interesting gig for them, and then start to review some of the, first of all, the technical infrastructure and have Ken lay that out. And Peter, the progress of the working group, which most of you guys are probably in that working group, so it'll be a little bit of a replay. And then we'll have Lori go over the one of the proofs of concept for the Linux Foundation, for the North Dakota, around the insurance, an insured motorist, and the using OpenIDL to link the databases around insurance data and license registration data in the state of North Dakota. So one of the things that I'd like for everyone to start thinking about, because there is a charter. If you go into the wiki, the charter will be there, but there's kind of a brief description of this regulatory reporting steering committee. And in that, that bit, one of the things that we have to, that we're charged with, is to look at proofs of concept that help advance the solution of OpenIDL for regulatory reporting. And we've had a lot of discussion at the working group level that goes forward or looks at how we would replace stat reporting in the current environment, and knowing that there's a lot of work going on in other places to do that. But what we'd like to do is I'd like to have this committee start organizing around what it would take to have a proof of concept to replace stat reporting. It's a lot more than just an agreement around data model and the elements of the data model. It goes a lot further than just the architecture, which you'll hear Ken talk a little bit about. But it's also going to be about what do we do with that, right? There's generally a charter. All of that information that we put together for the proof of concept of North Dakota will be out there and posted to the wiki. But what we'll need to do is have a chartering document, an actual statement around how we plan as a group to move forward with this idea that we want to run proof of concept to replace the stat reporting activity, as been discussed in the working group. So with that, again, just I want you guys to start thinking about that, because this is the steering committee is where that proof of concept would go forward. And I think it's important that everyone recognizes it really, there's more to it. And there'll be, you know, things like what states would want to participate. Is there a call from the states that are members of this group working collectively, like, you know, as we did with the business interruption? But think about how the structure, how the proof of concept, how we will actually write that down as a charter document or a document that leads the launching, the actual proof of concept. So as we're doing this, think about that, because it's obviously someplace that the working group has been talking about doing with the work they've done on the standard. And with that, another thing that I want you guys to think about is I want this to start having the identity beyond AAIS. You guys have been doing a lot of work in the working group. It's starting to take on a personality of its own, which is a wonderful thing. You know, it's like being a parent. We're beyond the smiling, cooing stage, and everybody's starting to develop. This thing is starting to develop a little bit of a personality, and it's exciting. And with that, I think it's important that you guys meet and understand the roles of the new staff for the OpenIDL at the Linux Foundations. And I am delighted to get to bring up Jeff first, getting a lot of feedback. So I'm going to go on mute and I'd ask everyone else to go on mute. But I'm going to introduce Jeff Braswell, who's the new executive director for OpenIDL, and let him introduce himself, kind of tell you what he thought when he saw this whole exercise we're doing around OpenIDL and what excited him about that. And then he can introduce the other staff members. Great.
Well, thanks, Robin. I was very interested when this opportunity to work on this project came up, because it's one of the few examples that I've seen where the private sector and the public sector and new technology have been collaborating in this fashion, very openly, creatively, and productively. My background has been in financial systems for large banks. I worked on the creation of the global LAI system, which was a response to the financial collapse of 2008 that the G20 and the Financial Stability Board said we needed some way to identify public companies. Some of you already know my background, but for those that don't, I did have a very successful company in a former life that did this type of extraction of data from systems of record of large banks' balance sheets to analyze them going forward for cash flows. What's happening here with the insurance industry, which is also essentially a financial industry, of course, with a lot of probabilities and actuarial data, is an example of a cooperation between the private sector and the public sector that looks like it can be a win-win for both. And the integration of new technologies and making this an open system, whereby you're not dependent upon a single locked-in sort of proprietary provider or given technology or given data center, really made all the pieces to this particular puzzle look very, very interesting. And the meetings that I sat in on, in which the data was requirements for auto was being discussed, really showed to me a real desire for collaboration in this area. So I'm very happy to work on this. There's a lot going on and a lot of different perspectives. It's not a simple project by any means. There's going to be a lot of discussions about alternatives, priorities, and so forth. But all in all, it's a very exciting project. But I'm more than happy to entertain any questions or suggestions or input. Feel free to contact me anytime about anything, and I'm very happy to discuss and meet with all of you or any of you. So I'll pass it on to Nathan, who's our program manager for this project, and maybe Nathan, you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure, thanks, Jeff. My name is Nathan Southern. I joined Linux Foundation as project coordinator about 2 months ago, a little over 2 months. In addition to OpenIDL, I'm working on Data Plane Development Kit and Open Voice Network. My background really lies in two areas, stakeholder management and communications management, specifically in the area of multinational stakeholder communications. I ran a media production startup for several years. And then following that, actually coincident with that, I also worked for TiVo for 9 years with corporate clients, including Comcast and Samsung and MSNBC and so forth as a project coordinator. And most recently worked at Emergent Health, designing an implementation an extension of their billing system. Happy to be aboard, excited about IDL. And what you guys are doing. I feel like I have a pretty solid grasp of the basic objectives and also some of the challenges that you guys are facing, and excited to be facilitating and offering support. So let me know what you need as we go along. I want to hand it off to Linnea.
Hello, everyone. I've met, I think, most of you now, but it's nice to meet everyone else. My name is Linnea Nelson. I started with the Linux Foundation and OpenIDL project, I guess 2 weeks ago as of yesterday. I'm super excited to be here. This is definitely a personal passion of mine. And now I get to make it a professional, mesh those two together. I have background, I'm kind of the insurance-specific, PNC-specific member on the team. I've worked for various startups, building risk modeling, primarily for auto. And I just came from Infosys. I was the account manager for Travelers Insurance. And I'm really excited to see what we can do here, especially with the reporting and beyond. And getting, bringing in new members and building this with everyone. So thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you. I think that it's an amazing next step for us to have a dedicated staff. Really excited to have everyone on this team. And I feel like, it's a great relief in some respects too, because I feel like, we've AIS has really worked hard to get that first piece of OpenIDL established. And we had some really great partners in the Hartford and Travelers and Hanover. And I know there are others, but those companies, as they've been on the governing board, have really contributed to the development of this. So I just want to thank them again. And I almost want to throw a party because now we have an actual real this identity starting to happen. So with that, I'm going to pivot over because I think unless you attend the technical infrastructure, any of those meetings or the working group, the steering committee that's happening over there, you probably don't, some of us don't get a chance to see what's been happening around the actual technical development. Obviously all this work that's going on in the working group, they're going back over and they're working on infrastructure to help harden the OpenIDL system and the technology that was donated over almost 18 months ago now, I think. And so I'm going to turn this over to Ken Sayers. Ken, if you would go ahead, and I think Nathan can advance through the slides for the technical update on the technical architecture.
When did you take the last cut, Nathan?
I'm sorry.
When did you take the last cut of you? You're going from Google Docs, or you're going straight from the box?
I was going straight from Google Docs. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been updating the box folder. So.
Do you wanna take over and drive from the box
Yeah, let me just share.
That might be bit. Easiest, yeah.
Okay.
It's the latest version that I had, so.
Yeah. Yep. So, just a couple of little tweaks. Okay, so.
That would also help me so I can go in and do the minutes, too.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to mess that up.
No, all good. I've got the attendance. I've got two laptops going, so.
Okay. So, hi, I'm Ken Sayers, Director of Solutions here at AIS, working from the technical perspective on the OpenIDL. And I'm just going to quickly go through some of the activities we've been doing from the technical architecture perspective. So what we've done in the past is we got a donation from IBM. We had a tech transfer, and they provided us the platform in the IBM cloud. And if you talk to anybody, they'll say there's a cloud, an IBM cloud. So we quickly figured out we need to move this to AWS, where we're more comfortable, and most companies are also working. So that's been migrated for probably a year now. And we did that with an external firm, Chainyard, who you might have heard from time to time. And once we moved to AWS, we did the Poitras POC, which you might have heard about separately, where we showed connection to PPP loans, et cetera, using OpenIDL. And then once we moved into AWS, we started we documented everything, open sourced all the code so that the carriers that wanted to participate in the project could see the code and could see how to light up a node. And the carriers started kicking the tires, and we got some good feedback as a result of that. So the learnings from the feedback we got from those interactions with the carriers, we shifted some of our architecture direction. And basically we're going towards hosted nodes instead of nodes built inside the, and I'll show you a picture of this to help bring this home. So that there's not quite as much technology plugged into the carriers clouds that tended to be a lot of issues with proper policies for hosting different applications and security, et cetera. So we pivoted a little bit and we're separating the harmonized data store so that the main, one of the main goals of this system is to maintain privacy of the carrier's data. And so that the architecture is shifted to take some of it out of the carrier node while leaving all the data in the carrier's node. And then we noticed that we had the TSC and we needed a group that was continuously talking about this every week. The TSC is more of a sort of a high level governance group. So we established the architecture working group to guide the activities. And we've been working in that group towards what could be called an architecture POC or a stat reporting POC, which we'll talk about later. Another thing that is underway right now is the North Dakota Uninsured Motorist POC, which I think Lori will talk about more. Okay, so let me just quickly give you a sense of the architecture working group. We recently elected a chair from the community. So this is a good step forward of having the community drive some of these groups. And Satish Kasala from the Hartford was volunteered for that position, and he gracefully accepted that. And we've been working with him for a couple of weeks now. And then, so the current work that we're doing in the POC is to make sure that we're all on the same page as to what are the main things we're trying to accomplish here. So it's really solid that we know we're going towards data privacy, quality of data, and that the people who receive the data, the regulators for stat reporting are getting quality data. So we're just restating those requirements and making sure that our architecture tenets are defined correctly so that as we go forward towards a new architecture that, like I was talking about refactoring the architecture a little bit, that we can make and adopt the correct decisions, right? We want to make sure that we're adopting decisions that support our requirements. And then as we move forward with that, we'll likely have some technical spikes. That's just basically a quick project to make sure that this idea is going to work out. We try it technically and maybe throw some sample data at it. And then the POC itself, which is that architectural or stat reporting POC, as described by, I think Peter will talk about it, the regulatory reporting data modeling working group wanted to do a personal two reports for personal auto using the current stat plans. And that would prove the plumbing so that we can go forward with other efforts to expand the use of OpenIDL. So let me give you a couple of pictures. The ecosystem stays the same. The current architecture ecosystem is that we have carrier nodes and we have the AIS node, the multi-tenant node, and an analytics node. The analytics node is where the reporting happens. If you've seen discussions of OpenIDL in general, you've seen this picture a bunch of times. It's not really the intention to repeat this, except to show that that part and the architecture around the channels, the way we use Hyperledger Fabric to have a public channel that we have a public default channel and private channels for movement of data that's extracted from the carriers. All this stays the same from our current architecture. It's the logical way that things should work, so no change there. The change starts to come here, where in the past we had all of the member node running in the member's enterprise. So Travelers, Hartford, Hanover would host all of this, and we got some feedback that maybe that's this overreach. We're trying to put too much technology into the carrier's world. So we grabbed that and said, what can we do about this part of the architecture to make it more amenable to the carriers so that they can run and participate in OpenIDL without having to do so much provisioning of complex architecture in their world. So we pivoted to this model where we're basically what used to be in the enterprise is moved to a hosted OpenIDL as a service model, where all of this technology about the OpenIDL Hyperledger Fabric and some of the application pieces are onto a hosted node that we partner with somebody like a Chainyard or a Sanofi to host for you. And then we have a consistent and very robust hardened way of deploying these, and we can be very consistent. We don't have to constantly worry about the policies inside the carrier. And then all we have to really worry about is the communication between that and the member's enterprise, where we put in a small adapter that does some extraction logic. So there's a few things still running in the member's enterprise, but all of the data remains over in the member's world. But we have this little adapter to connect it to the rest of the architecture. So that's what we've been working on in the from a logical perspective of trying to figure out what's the architecture that's going to support the needs and constraints of the carriers. And so we're putting together this stat reporting POC, which is driven, the scope is driven from the regulatory reporting data modeling working group. I'm getting good at saying all that fast. The purpose is basically to prove the architecture is viable for that use case. And then at the same time, keep other use cases in mind, like this North Dakota uninsured motorist, so that we're not invalidating that OpenIDL for those other use cases. The scope is personal auto, two stat reports, current stat plans, running through this target architecture that we're developing. And of course, the work that's required to do that is the community has to come together to ratify that architecture we're going to use, help execute those spikes. AIS is not going to man all these spikes to figure out if these technologies work, have some subgroups here and there to support some of the thinking and decision-making. And then, of course, the ETL to provide the data into the system. You guys already have part of that defined to redirect that, put that into OpenIDL. And then, of course, when we start getting those reports, to validate those reports. So there is a good amount of community work necessary to get this POC done. AIS is not going to do all of this. And we've had a lot of interest and a lot of participation so far. But as we start digging in to the details, it'll be fun to work with y'all on those details. Okay, that's it for me. Are there any questions about the technical architecture, the technical side of OpenIDL and where we're doing, what we've been doing, where we're going?
Hi, Ken. This is Kim. Thank you for the overview. Question for you. It was a few slides back when you said you made a change to move it from within the carrier into that other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that change the risk profile of information security or privacy at all by making that change?
Right. So that's a great question. It's an absolute tenet of the architecture that data privacy is maintained. All of the and what that is twofold. It's the raw data that is used to do the reports is extracted from raw data, and that's in this harmonized data store. That's in the member enterprise. What you do as a carrier is you format this in a standard way so that the way that it's accessed, the queries that get that data are consistent across carriers, but you manage all of this data, and only the results of the extractions or the queries are shared into the architecture. And even then, the private channel is the only place where that data goes across. So other carriers never see any of the data from the member's enterprise. And so we've gotten stronger, if anything, with the data privacy, with this move to a hosted node. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, part of it. But in terms of this hosted node, in terms of the security for that node, does that change the risk at all or no?
Yes.
One of the benefits of that is you could actually run that container yourself in your own cloud-based infrastructure if you wanted to. I think that makes it just more universal. Doesn't mean it has to be external through a provider. If you really wanted to run it internally, you could.
Yeah, I think we are using a trusted partner to run that node. And that node still never sees your raw data. So that isn't in any way jeopardized. The results from your reports are on that node. So I guess I'm just answering with the specifics. You make your own judgment as far as the security profile. Truman, you want to say something?
Yeah, the short answer is that it doesn't change the security profile, but it gives us more flexibility in deployment so that as an organization, you could deploy a portion of it to a trusted partner. Or as you're saying, you could split the configuration even within the organization. So for example, you could take the part of it and put it in a DMZ or more of an external perimeter that only does the blockchain portions of the functions, while the enterprise data that exists inside the blue box, essentially on the left-hand side, can be anywhere inside the organization and increasingly, internal data stores, that are very, very secure, really don't have any external access. And you can use the OpenIDL node, which has nothing sensitive on it. It's basically only has the Hyperledger component only has the integrity hashes.
Yeah, so the data that's in this node is of interest is all in this private data collection, and that's always been shared with the analytics node. So not any increased visibility of that data.
Right.
Thank you.
It gives us opportunity for more security and more flexibility in deployment so you can use a trusted partner or do it completely within your own control.
And this architecture has been approved by the Technology Steering Committee?
It's in the process of being approved.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, that was going to be my exact question because I hadn't seen this yet either. Was how does this affect the security? Because that's truly one of the goals for this, right? Is privacy and security, and we never want to do anything that jeopardizes that activity. So good questions, and I think this is a great positive move for us all.
Okay. So I'll give it back over to you, Nathan. The saw's coming through.
I'm getting some feedbacks here.
Those are bumblebees.
Yeah, that's Robin's home improvement project. I've got a DIY channel thing going in the other room, right?
We're going to move to the POC now.
I think Peter wants to go next because he's in some training today, so he needed to jump off a little early. So if we can get Peter's, I don't know if his slides are in here already.
Yeah, if I could take over, I updated on Box. If you could stop sharing for a second, sure. I could.
Happy to. Yep.
Thank you so much. Okay, mm-hmm. Share screen number two. Hello, for anybody who doesn't know me, I'm Peter Antley, and I run the Regulatory Reporting Data Model Working Group. And so here is our update. So for auto, as Ken alluded to, what we're doing is our initial thing is we're trying to really test the plumbing out, and we have concluded that using existing stat plan as we have it is the most efficient way to really kind of validate the next steps of what we're doing. So as of last meeting, we finally come to agreement. We're using the stat plan as it is. What we're going to be doing next, at some point we're going to be doing a generation two probably. Generation two is going to be where we start to unpack the values in our stat plan. So an example of that would be, I think when you're looking at auto, you're looking at our various coverages maybe. There's an option for code 9, which is all other. We want to bust out some more coverage options so that we have less all others. And then we're going to push to a generation 3 at some point. Generation 3 is when we're going to start talking about new attributes and new values in addition to the existing stuff that we're doing today. In terms of our progress, our generation 1 has been completed. Our generation 2 has been started and is now paused. Generation 1 is the MVP for auto. The group is not meeting for the rest of May to allow for the AWG and TSC to catch up a little bit, because we've had just a little bit of, so it would be good to get the AWG through the rest of the month. We were going to take 2 weeks off, but then the third week was Memorial Day, and we thought there'd be a lot of people out anyway, so we're just going to pick back up in June. When we pick back up, we're going to be stepping into homeowners, and we should be getting the homeowners out much quicker because our goal with homeowners and the rest of the lines for generation one is going to be basically approving the existing staff plan so that then we can start to actually make reports. I can take any questions anybody has now. Robin, are you going to go?
Yeah, I'm sorry. About that time I took it off mute, there was hammering in the background. So what I'd like to see happen here is that, you know, we've had a lot of decisions. We have a basic roadmap here for what we want to do around the proof of concept for the auto, the two reports. So when the working group picks back up, I'd like them to be able to just start working now that they have this general outline toward the actual attributes and working on the model itself. And for this POC and the management of it to be now in the steering committee, because I think it's appropriately in the steering committee to start to have these proofs of concepts run through. So you've got, you know, the architecture as it's moving through, we'll go through the technical steering committee, and then we'll need that sister POC in the to start to move forward in the steering in the reg reporting steering committee. And again, things like who's participating, right? Who are we going to recruit more states? Are the states that are members going to participate? All of those kinds of questions that you get around going out now from this original plan, right? What we can do and starting to develop that POC. So it looks like something that we can also take to our you know, other people in our constituency, right? Other regulators, other people to say, hey, you know, either come join us or really pay attention, right? So that there's some marketing around it. So there's some consolidation around the participants and what the result will look like. Things like the perhaps, you know, are we going to have a output that is a report or is it a dashboard, right? Those types of things that need to kind of carry forward the proof of concept. So please start thinking about that as we go in. And what I'm going to ask is that there be maybe a subcommittee of this. Peter, you guys didn't have, did you have a subcommittee that was working on any?
So I do have a great focus group that is kind of some more technical people, and Dale joins too from the business side. But we have a technical focus group that meets on Tuesday mornings, but it's kind of getting more technical. And I believe that I was going to talk to Satish, and I think that focus group probably is more of an AWG type focus group because we're really talking more about implementation and kind of getting beyond the business level. Okay.
Well, I think what we need to do is ask for a subgroup, right, to start moving the POC idea forward, right? The actual, again, the game plan, right, has to be advanced beyond just the initial roadmap. We have to talk about all these things. So I'd like that to be a work, you know, something under the steering committee as a proof of concept. Remember, if you go back to the original charter and the original with a wiki homepage, one of the things is to steward proofs of concept to help us advance regulatory reporting in the OpenIDL. So if you're interested in being in, you know, participating in that and helping to get that on its legs as far as taking this POC and advancing it, it can, I'm happy to facilitate that. And, you know, I'm sure our folks at the Linux Foundation will be, you know, with us on this as well. But whoever's interested in that, please let me know. And I'll also take a second to say that we still, the way this charter for the steering committee is set up is that there's no limit to participants. People, you know, everyone can be a member of the community. It does, however, have 10 for appointed voting members, and that would be appointed by the governing board to begin with. So we have some initial members. I believe that was George Bradner from Connecticut, Andy Case from Mississippi, I think Eric Lowe from Virginia, and Kim Brown from the Hanover. Susan Chudwick has asked, would like to be a voting member, and I'll put her forward on the next, I think there's a Friday, there is a governing board, so that has to be, you know, approved by the governing board. And I think also we have at least one other regulator, perhaps Sandra Darby also, one of the, I believe that she is going to be put forward as well. So I will get that on the agenda. If there's anyone else interested in being a voting member, we have, I think, still several company spots that are open. Please let me know that as well. And then we will try to make sure that we start working on the proof of concept. But again, I would like this to be from the community. AIS is always going to be there as a partner, and especially around this as, you know, replacing stat reporting. But, you know, this is where the community probably it will be a better effort if the community is pushing forward on this. It's, you guys have made some decisions. Let's step this through and go to the next level on it. Okay. Any questions of Peter or on that note? Okay, so I thought we'd finish this up by letting Lori take the make the presentation, mostly because I know people really get tired of listening to me talk. So one of the proofs of concepts that we have led in has been around the North Dakota reporting project for auto around uninsured motorists. And I want to preface this a little bit too by saying, for those of you that are kind of are connected into your statistical reporting piece of your company, there are, I want to say 12 to 15 states now that have legislation around reporting into and connecting to identify for their either the Highway Safety Motor Vehicle Department of Transportation, it just depends on the state, around providing insurance information to create databases and be able to understand who meets financial responsibility laws in their state, and or the same idea around exposing the true uninsured motorist numbers in their state. So this is not a novel thing. What we're doing is taking something that pretty much exists, and if you're in a large company, somewhere in your organization, this data is being reported out to these states, to different providers that that have facilitated and have these basically big database management type of systems. This is the first attempt to do this in a distributed ledger technology in the OpenIDL. So with that, I'll let Lori touch on. So we built a lot of that work. All of that's going to be posted in the wiki. You can see everything we wrote about it. Again, we're not reinventing a wheel. We're taking a wheel that exists and putting it into this infrastructure that I think is a great deal more robust and can do a lot more. And again, that privacy security thing, which is always important to all of us, start to show that the OpenIDL can be used for data that is beyond just the stat reporting world, but also in this regulatory reporting, which again is happening somewhere in your company, especially if you're a large carrier, to at least a dozen states. Lori?
All right, can we have the next slide, please? Good morning, I'm Lori Munn. I think all of you know me. I am driving this project as project lead. I thought today I'd just walk you through kind of the history on what we did with this, starting with in October of 2021. We did respond to a RFI request that the North Dakota Insurance Department had issued. Basically, it was a fact-finding mission for the department. They wanted to get information around the what they saw as a project in the blockchain to identify uninsured vehicles in their state. We were one of, I believe, six respondents to the RFI. And so once the RFI was issued and they received all their responses back in January of 2022, they did issue a official RFP. The identification of uninsured driver vehicles using blockchain technology. Again, there were several responses received about different technologies, all using blockchain, but a little bit different aspects of it. In March, they contacted the top two finalists to come in and do a presentation. They wanted to have a little bit more in-depth information around the RFP and cost analysis. And so we did go in, and besides submitting our written request, we also presented in person talking about how we saw this working. Again, focused on state need to identify uninsured motorists, deploying OpenIDL nodes with specific insurance information for the top 10 personal lines auto carriers. Since then, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but there is an opportunity to expand outside of that now. Then to leverage the North Dakota's DOT VIN numbers. And again, we're gonna do this in smart contracts that will connect the information and deliver matches to analytic nodes for both the insurance department and for the Department of Transportation to be able to access. Again, in March, we were notified we were the two top finalists, and I already kind of gave you a rundown on that. We did give a presentation expanding on that information that I just previously talked about. We went into more details around how we were going to deliver the work and our strategy for accomplishing the scope of work, timeframe, budgets, and ability to deliver. Basically, when it came down to it, OpenIDL, we were able to present that we were much more cost effective and our timeline, the feedback we got from the department is our timeline was much more robust, and they then ultimately in March 29th, we were awarded the procurement opportunity. With this, next slide, please. This is just a rough sketch of what was in the RFP as far as the timeline we presented. Obviously, May 2nd has passed. We've run into a few things with the department because this was the first time that they've done this. It's not a typical procurement. And so we just got done working with them on a massive IT submission around privacy and security and IT information, how we're going to interface with them. Next is we're working on a contract with them. And so that's still in the works as far as an official contract. And so right now it's looking like this project is going to be pushed back about a month. We're anticipating starting around the first or second week in June. And then the project itself will be completed the first phase, December 1st, with subsequent reports generated monthly. We have worked with the department already in post RFP work because they see this, and their words to us was they anticipate a very successful project and they want to make sure that they have the resources and the budget to continue the work in using the OpenIDL, not only for this project, but they have other projects that they're looking at to subsequently use this for. So they're very excited to get this started. We did talk to them. They actually have said that if we have other carriers that would like to participate in this POC outside of the top 10, that they would really like that to expand the scope of the work a bit. And so we are anxious to get this started. And like I said, it's a work in progress and on both sides. I think as Ken illustrated, we're ready to go on our side and have been working to get everything set up. But as far as the department, it is government. So they are struggling a bit on how to get that internally up and running and in the timeframe that they want to deliver. The other thing I just wanted to let you all know is I did hear back from all the regulators, and they are at the NCCI meeting in Florida. Robin, they're up in your neck of the woods, actually, and it's they're traveling there today. So they are going to listen to the recording from today's meeting. And I wanted to point out, I was recently at IRIS and spoke to a few of the commissioners there in other states regarding this RFP, and they have been talking to Commissioner Gottfried in North Dakota. And there's already a couple states that are very interested in possibly doing their own proof of concept similar to this, but a couple also have POCs they'd like to do in OpenIDL around homeowners. So that was very exciting. And North Dakota has been a great advocate for OpenIDL and especially in interacting with other states and letting them know what's going on.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah, one of the things I'd really like to see from this, and I think it's important that we structure the POC for stat reporting around some of these concepts of deliverables and timelines and success for for being able to put these into the architecture that's been as it's been modified. I don't, even though we had to take this very long route of procurement in the states, I personally am not convinced that that's a necessity, and I'm hoping that some of the states can start to participate without, because all of this very elaborate, procurement is a zero cost when it comes right down to it to the state, at least the proof of concept. If they want to continue and operate, they're going to obviously have some cost of being active node with
with their data in it, or at least, you know, the Department of Transportation or Highway Safety Motor Vehicles data in a node. But that, you know, we'll see how this goes forward. I'm hoping that we don't have to do these very involved procurements. I personally don't want to do this again. It's a lot of work. And if I wanted to be in the, you know, grant writing slash procurement area, I think I'd probably take another job somewhere else, because this is not my least favorite thing to do. But we do need to have some of the discipline, so it's not wasted. It's not wasted energy in the sense that we do have to have some of this type of discipline in the proof of concepts as we go forward as an organization as well. So we wanted to get this in front of you so that you can go online. We're going to get this data posted as well in the wiki, so you can kind of see what we did and all the information we put out there. It was a big project. And then, you know, also having to look at it from a security standpoint and having to answer some of those questions, that really kind of brought forward some of the hardening that also has to be done in the architecture.
I did want to just mention, so out on the wiki, as Robin mentioned, we did set up a section under the Regulatory Reporting Steering Committee. It's POCs and projects. So if you go out there, you can see the response to the RFI and the RFP. The complete responses are posted out there. We've also set up, or we're in the process of setting up a section on research. And so in that section, you'll be able to see all of the stat reporting research that we've done in the TLC section of AAIS. And so it's pretty robust. I encourage you to go out and look at that once it's out there. And so that will be out there. And then there's also going to be a section on the charter and just, I think, some other minutes from other committee meetings. So just wanted to let you all know that that's the wiki in process, but hopefully by the end of this week, all of that will be posted out there for you all to look at. And I wanted to just, Robin, if it's okay, I just wanted to check with everyone. Are you getting the emails directly from OpenIDL, the reminders and the emails? I know, Susan, some of your folks were having trouble, or you weren't getting some of the emails. So I just wanted to make sure you did get those for this meeting going forward. Or if not, we can work with Nathan and make sure you all are back and set up properly.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I did have the invite, and I did get a reminder email. I can't remember if that was yesterday or this morning.
Okay, and I did send you another one as well from me, just to make sure today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Lori, I don't think I had it unless you had sent it this morning, so that was good. So I appreciate you doing that.
Okay.
But then for this, great overview, really appreciate that, because I did have some questions on it as far as, and so this really helps a lot. But one question outstanding, so is with the way the RFP works, so do all the top 10s have to utilize OpenIDL in order to populate? Is their only path?
Yes, and there's still, I think, some flexibility with the way that the proof of concept has been structured. I don't think it is, and we haven't had that first meeting. I think there is some decision making that the department is going to have to kind of undergo in that first meeting that we have, because when you responded, can we facilitate it for 10? It doesn't mean that the department can't ask others to participate, or that they're really stopped in any way from, looking at the scope of what they want to do. I still think they have some flexibility. I think they have the ability to ask, you know, if there are member companies at the OpenIDL that's participating in the OpenIDL, if they have auto data, you know, personal auto in the state of North Dakota, if they would like to participate. I think there's a lot of things they can do. And the purpose is to utilize this technology. We're also going to make available a multi-tenant environment. So if you have some companies that aren't quite ready to go full swing, we really want to have at least at least half, at least eight, I would say 5 to 8 of the participating companies to actually have a node deployed, like we're looking at in the infrastructure to prove the technology, right? All of it is about proving that technology can support the activity they're looking at. It could be done in a multi-tenant environment, but that's really kind of counterintuitive to what you want to try to prove through the proof of concept. So I think, Brian, there's still some decisions that the department is going to need to make when they send out that letter that says, hello, we're going to ask our companies to do X, Y, Z, and these are the companies we're going to ask. I think there's still some flexibility for doing that. I also think that other states could probably participate as well. So if you had, for example, 2 or 3 of the other OpenIDL states that are members of OpenIDL that said, hey, that's really interesting. And we already do something like this. We'd like to test this as well. That could happen as well to kind of expand the scope. So I think that there's still some room that this could be a larger exercise than North Dakota and a larger exercise than this, just their top 10 riders.
So, but also, Brian, Commissioner Godfrey does plan, and it was part of their process and submitting the RFP or getting the RFP responses, is he does plan to issue a data call for this project. So he is going to issue a formal data call to his top 10 carriers.
They wouldn't have to use OpenIDL to get the data in.
I think it's going to be, and that, like Robin said, we haven't met to them, but right now that's their plan, but they know they may get pushed back from like their NODAC and on how they can deliver that information. But that is the plan, to tell them that they have to participate in this project.
Very interesting. The reactions of the top 10s that aren't members of this group.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, right? And I don't, they haven't done it yet. So but the presumption is, and I think that the Commissioner Brian is also going to try to woo as many people in as he can, right? He's going to try to get participation from the companies because they see a laudable goal here. I don't think he wants to use the stick, and I don't know that he's convinced he can use the stick, but he's going to do what he can to try to make sure that he's getting participation through using OpenIDL.
Yeah, this actually went through their legislature. They went through the legislature, and that's why they had the post planning meeting with us, is because they have stuff going through their legislature for next session, and they wanted this to be included because they are investing in this.
Yeah,
and want to see it as a viable solution moving forward.
Right, and you know, Brian, it's really not that different. You know, the 12 or 15 states that have this database activity that companies are feeding the databases to support looking at matching the the insurance carriers' data to the vehicle, yeah, right? To make sure it, you know, there's already legislation doing this, so we know that it's only really about the technology at this point. And is it really any different than those 12 or 15 states have to report it, right, in such a way? They have, and some of those states stop short of mandating a particular type of technology solution other than it's a database solution, right? And they have a whole procurement action that happens to award that. But in reality, there's probably 3 vendors that always bid on that. And there's 1 or 2 very significant ones that always get it. So anyway, it's kind of one of those situations where, it's not really unrealistic that this type of push, it's just, we're seeing it first time with distributed ledger technology.
I think, Robin, honestly, I think the DMV reporting is a fantastic use case for OpenIDL, any kind of blockchain initiative. I do. So, in the future, I think that would be great. So it's interesting, and you're right. It's got to start somewhere. So
it's interesting.
Backtracking to what you guys said a few minutes ago about reminders, my reminder went out yesterday. My last one went out yesterday, and I've been sending it to the RRSC mailing list. So if someone is not getting that, if it's not coming through for some reason, then please reach out to me and let me know. That's something we need to be aware of, and we'll rectify that.
Just got it as we were speaking. It's great. Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think with that, we're moving to the last slide, which is the wrap up, because we're at the end of the hour.
Perfect. So do we have anybody with any outstanding questions or anything that they would like to pitch in here for or you know, talk about here at the end of the meeting? Okay. So with that,
I believe I was just going to let them know our next meeting should be scheduled a month out from last week, because we pushed this back a week this time. So you should have it on your calendars. If you don't, again, let me know so that I can work with Nathan and make sure you all are on there. And then we'll, you know, as this POC progresses too in future meetings, we'll keep you all updated on the processes and where we're at with it as well. So okay. Thank you for that.
Still looking again. Thanks. Thank you, Susan, for your interest in being on the steering committee. And I'll make sure all that gets put forward on the agenda to the governing board for Friday. And then if there's anyone else from the companies that's interested in participating, right now it's, I think, you and Kim and from the companies. And so if there's anyone else from the companies that would like to be on the steering committee, I think we're coming in close, and I'm going to go solicit for the last space or two for our regulators. So we had the voting 10, five regulators, five companies. I hope we don't need to vote other than, in the most extreme circumstance. We are going through, you know, this is about trying to get consensus and trying to make sure everyone can participate and has an idea with transparency and, you know, the group trying to push these things forward, not AIS and the great partners that we've had so far. So it's getting away from our identity, and it's becoming the open IDL. Any parting words, Jeff? You have any blessing dismissal?
Well, no, I just looking forward to this. I think we've got a great team, and this is a very exciting project. My goals are to try to get more carriers involved on the external side and to help coordinate all the things that are happening on the internal side. So I've got my work cut out.
Well, we're excited to have you as part of the Open IDL community. And okay, if there's nothing else, hearing nothing else, the good of the order, we are dismissed.
Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thanks.